boxed, ready for Saturday morning's Greyhound Racing Wrap. Across Victoria, RSN 927 is talking greyhounds.
And g'day from JT and a happy Easter to you on Easter Saturday. Welcome to another edition of Talking Greyhounds. Howdy Simone, happy Easter.
Thank you, John. Happy Easter to you too. I hope the Easter Bunny comes for you tonight.
Well, let's hope so, but I think the Easter Bunny might come early for some of our people up in New South Wales. What is on the show today?
I think so. Well, it is all about the Easter egg on today's show, John, so I'll be talking to trainers David Gill and Anthony Azzopardi about their chances in the big race tonight.
Massive prize money, Group 1 glory, and Georgie, I hope your little girl can go back-to-back, but we'll talk about that later on. News of the week, I think I know what your first item is going to be, Simone.
Well, it's old news now, isn't it? The biggest news of the greyhound world and of the week has been that Fantabale has been retired due to a cracked scapula, which is the shoulder blade. She contested 22 group race finals and won 9 of those in Group 1 level, which is amazing in itself. In her 63-start career, she had 42 wins and 14 places and retires as the record holder of 9 Group 1s, John. Absolutely phenomenal. So, and also $1.3 million in stakes. So we didn't think that we'd see Fernando Bale's record toppled so quickly in Dinah Double 1s, but it has happened with this little girl. And she's just so remarkable, I think, just the fact that she won Group 1s over the 3 distances, which is unheard of. So the Meadows have already, in a very fitting tribute, decided to rename the Super Stayers as of next year, the Fantabale Super Stayers, which you would expect all these things to happen. I mean, it should be a Hall of Fame. It should
be
Victorian Greyhound of the Year, Australian Greyhound of the Year. You would expect. I can't see anything really changing too much. But it's been a big week for Robert Britton, hasn't it? And when you correlate that with Winx at the moment as well, the decision to put the animal first rather than what the public want. And I think for Robert and Paul Wheeler in the end, John, it wasn't even about the money. It was just the excitement of this little girl racing, how she brought people to the tracks. She was amazing every time she ran, and she had nothing left to prove. So they've decided to, you know, Sandown Cup was in their sights, not to be. She won't have had the right preparation, even if she does come back from the injury that isn't too major. But yeah, it's sad. It was really sad news when I saw the tweet come through during the week.
But as we've often said on this program, Rob Britton was always going to put Fantabale first in any of this equation. And when you talk of all those stats, she's proved herself well above any expectations. So a happy retirement and maybe a couple of litters coming up, I would suggest.
I would think so. Well, her 2 sisters have already done that. So she's the 3rd one in line there, isn't she? I don't know how many. I think there might only be the 3 litters, 3 bitches in the litter. So, yes,
so if you pressure's had, on. If you had Fantabale, who would you cross her with?
Oh, you'd probably have to go to something like Fernando, wouldn't you? Well, her
sister
Eralda has just had her pups are about 4 weeks old to Fernando Bale, 3 to 4 weeks old. I think you go to something that's, well, he's proven already, isn't he, at group level, proven and popular. So I don't really think who it would matter who you go to. But I heard an interesting conversation with Michael Felgate and Robert during the week, and Robert said the expectations of these, you know, star performing bitches, their pups don't always live up to the expectations.
No, that's the same in thoroughbreds, because you would say a good race mare never produces. It's the ones that might have a smattering of black type or sometimes haven't seen a racetrack but have a great pedigree that do produce. So that's one of those arguments for later on with a good glass of red, Simone. But we wait with great anticipation. And yay of the day to Rob Britton and Paul Wheeler for putting the pup first. What else has been happening?
Well, after some mixed results for the Victorians in the Easter Egg series this far, we've managed to get 5 through to the final. So perhaps the 2 biggest stories to come out of the series is the fact that Strike a Light and Uphill Jewel will again meet. Strike a Light attempting to make it back-to-back egg wins. And they're both contesting another Group 1 together. They've contested 8 group race finals.
It's astounding,
together.
Isn't it?
It is astounding. You know, yeah.
She is going to win one uphill, Jill, isn't she?
She won the Top Gun, didn't she? But I think that's a bit different to a series. That's just...
correct.
I think that's what you're alluding to, the fact you go through a series.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, time may be running out, but she's not racing any worse off than she ever has been.
What about George Farrugia off in Bali?
Yes.
Now, George, you know, I know you've got to take the family away, but gee, how many G1s can you go back to back?
I know, and scheduling. Also, Brett and Kelly Bravo are in Tasmania. Brett's flying back this morning.
Oh, good.
Well, maybe it was last night, Friday night.
Yeah.
Flying back, driving up to Sydney, then doing what has to be done, and then back to Tasmania.
Wow. Okay. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. What else is happening
tonight?
It sure
is. The Association Cup will also be run tonight with three Victorians engaged, Billy's Bake, Trit Trit and Rip and Sam, at $75,000 to the winner. And if you remember Shimmer Bar, the winner of the 2017 Paws of Thunder, he last raced on the 25th of February 2017 when he fell and broke a leg in the heat of the Australian Cup, and he's making a comeback. And I think it will be a good one, John, judging by his satisfactory trial at Ballarat on Monday. He jumped from the red box in a field of four and recorded a 25.24. So I think watch out for him when he resumes racing. Stewart's made a trip back to the Dark Ages at both Sandown last Sunday and Traralgon on Monday, as the finish link system wasn't working at both tracks due to IT issues.
Mm.
So it affected the timing and the photo finishes. So all the races were manually timed and judged, and the margins determined by the stewards. Both meetings went ahead, full 12 race programs, which is great. But, what a way to get that stopwatch out. And you wouldn't want a dead heat or close to a dead heat, would you?
No. Well, you know, these IT issues do happen from time to time. So well done to the stewards for being able to go back to the more traditional methods.
Yes, that's right. Get the pen and paper out. And on a sad note, Alan Miles passed away during the week after a battle with cancer. Alan was the longest serving member of the, employee, I should say, of the MGRA, having worked as a judge, a groundsman, amongst other roles during 40 years of service. So his service was held on Tuesday during the week, but I'm sure he'll be a person who will be missed around the meadows.
And I'm sure fondly remembered as well, Simone. All right, a bit of news going on. Let's hit the phones now and get cracking on our look at the Easter egg. First cab off the rank, David Gill. We'll talk about his little girl, Uphill Jill.
What's making news around the kennels?
Good morning, David. Thanks for joining us on Talking Greyhounds this morning. A busy night ahead, of course, for you and Uphill Jill in the final of the Easter Egg yet again.
Yes, that's right, Simone. Yeah, second time in a row. So we're just hoping she can do it this time, because it'd be really good to go out, finish her career with a Group 1, because she's only probably got a couple more months.
Well, looking at her stats, David, they're phenomenal, really. This is her eighth time that she'll be lining up against Strike a Light in group race finals. It's her 15th group race final. She's been in 8 group 1, 6 group 2s and 1 group 3, and she's placed in about second in about 7 other finals as well. It's a remarkable career that she's had.
Yes, we've been very fortunate, Simone, though, that she's been very sound, which has been in our favour. That doesn't happen very often, does it? You know, over 18 months. And also such a tenacious little chaser. She hasn't browned off. We haven't had to back off with her, you know, when they can lose form. And so we've sort of been fortunate, those two aspects of it, which normally prevent, you know, greyhounds from, keep racing for 18 months solid.
Well, you obviously can take a lot of the credit for that, David, because you know this greyhound inside out. You obviously know when to work her a bit harder, when to back off a little bit. Has your regime changed over the last, say, 18 months of her racing?
It's been basically the same. As she's got older, we've found that she put on weight, even though she looks the same. When you look at her, she's nearly 1 kilo heavier than what she was when she started. But if you look at her, you wouldn't think so. So we just gather that she's put on weight as she's got older and bulked up.
Well, she's not the only one, is she?
No.
Easy to do.
Yeah. But, she's, over that long period of time, she's sort of, we've had to, back off only probably 2 or 3 times with races after hard runs. So, but otherwise, we're lucky that she does pull up very well after a run, generally. So, but we just free gallop her 600 metres probably twice in between races. pre-galloping, and then when I need to, I'll put her against another dog for competition, and she'll really go and work very hard, but I only do that when I think I need to.
Well, going into the Easter Egg final tonight, it was a remarkable run from her last week, such a tenacious run and running down Strike a Light, or she had that competition with Strike a Light. Tim Newbold mentioned the Battle Royale, which it certainly was. What were you thinking coming into that home turn?
Oh, look, to be honest, standing at the corner of Wentworth Park on the home corner at the boxes there, I did think Strike a Light because I know, we just know she's a superstar and she has gone past us before off the back and gone away, sort of. I think that was might have been New South Wales Futurity or one of them. But so I know that she can do it both ends. We know she is a front runner, Strike a Light, mainly like our bitch. But I do know that she's so good that I thought we were beaten on the corner. I did think we were beaten, and then it flashed in the back of my mind that, you know, those two Richmond runs that sort of maybe have taken the edge off her a bit. They've knocked two or three lengths off her. She's just taken a little bit longer to recover, and even though we're backed off with her, work. But, yeah, I did think we were in strife, and it was a great call, Tim Newbold. That was a very exciting to be part of that with Jill. It was a really good call, and just two great bitches that have been racing against each other for quite a long time, and very similar, aren't they? The way they race.
They can, like you say, they can do it at both ends. They've got that early speed. Your girl's probably just that fraction more reliable. She seems to just fly out every start, whereas Striker can sometimes, you know, be a little bit tardy. But you've come up with box six, David. That's not where you wanted to be drawn, is it?
No, it wasn't. After, you know, the Pause of Thunder, I think it was five, and the Melbourne Cup five, and quite a number of the others, I just felt that I'll get my wife, Rose, to do the try and pick the draw this time, because I don't have much luck. When I actually have to go up and pick it myself, it's all right if the banjo shakes you. I don't mind that. But when you've got to pick it yourself, so I thought, I'll get Rose to go up. And I said, no, just don't pick box six. That's probably the only one we don't really want.
And we got it. You got.
And I think some people have commented they could see it on Rose's face when she walked away picking the box. So it has put a dampener on, because, you know, a massive race, a golden Easter egg and quarter of $1 million, and you sort of, it does put a dampener on it. So she's going to have to really come out fast and still, having said that, try and head off Strike a Light off the red. So.
There's a couple of other very handy chasers in the race, but looking at Jill's record, she absolutely loves Wentworth Park, doesn't she? 14 starts there for 8 wins and 5 placings. It's an amazing record there.
It is, yeah. I'll never get another one like it. She, yeah, that's right. The only one she was unplaced was the Golden Easter Egg, actually, last year.
Last year.
Ran into a bad prang on the first corner and got pushed right out of the race and battled away. She didn't get beaten that far, but... otherwise, as you say, 13 out of 14. She does love the place, and I'm just hoping, yeah, she can do it again.
Well, she flew out last week at 5:39 early. If she can do that again, David, she's certainly going to be somewhere in the mix in the end of the race, you would think.
Yeah, you're right. You're spot on when you say she's reliable, because she's broke. She's got under 5:40 a number of times at Wendy, which is hard to do anyway, once off, you know, but she's done it a number of times, so she is pretty reliable that she will run a 5:40 or under, and she has run 5:31 this year. I think it was a heat of the Pause of Thunder, and
right,
5:31. I doubt whether that will be surpassed this year, but then again,
you never know, do you?
Could be done this Saturday, but it is very, the guys up there tell me too, we've got to know our first split's pretty well up there, and the guys say that won't be beaten this year. But she would actually have to run that, I would say, or low 5:30s to try and cross and lead Strike a Light.
Yeah.
But they do look to two, one of them's going to lead.
It does look that way on paper, yes.
Yeah, but there's some beauties in there too. There's a real up-and-comer. I like Miss Blenda Miro, Dual Karoma. You know, so it's going to be on.
It sure will. Well, David, best of luck tonight in the Easter Egg final. Let's hope she can go one better this year or run a place at least. But if you're thinking about retirement, let's hope she can go out with a win.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Simone.
Thanks, David.
Thanks very much. Yeah, bye.
RSN 927's Talking Greyhounds with Simone Fisher.
Yeah, good luck to David Gill tonight up in Sydney with Uphill Jill in the Easter Egg Fast Times around the week, Simone.
Well, there has been a few again, John, at all the different tracks. At Geelong over the 400, Ronray Destiny for Terry Reid ran a 22.42. Not available, a 29.88 at the Meadows for Robert Britton over the 5.25. He was my best bet, paid $2.10.
Well done.
Thank you. Benali, another one for Robert, a 29.32 over the 5.15 at Sandown. Al Jalicho for Carolyn Jones, a 5.20 win at Sale in 29.34. That is getting down into the really low times there. Italian Plastic for Harry Manalitsis, a 24.63 over the 400 at Sale. Scottish for Lachlan Scott, a 3.90 win at Shepparton over the 3.90 in 21.96. Minch Boy, a 4.10 metre win at Horsham in 23.29 for Rod Clark. At Terrelgan for Philip Smith, Rideau's Ace recorded a 22.62 over the 3.95. Dinah Zesty for the Daily Camp, a 600 metre win at the Meadows in 34.37. Poor Old Frank for Neville Vincent, a 500 metre win at Bendigo in 27.78. And Peter Gallo, a 4.25 win for Gary Selkrig in 23.41.
It's the expert pick, Simone's Run of the Week.
Lots of material for you to work with, Simone.
There has been. I think the Run of the Week this week deserves to go to Uphill Jill, John. There was a couple of good runs coming out of Wentworth Park on Saturday night, but I think just the heart she showed to win and defeating Strike a Light in the concluding stages of the post there, I think she deserves to have Run of the Week.
Uphill Jill, of course, in the Easter Egg tonight at Wentworth Park. You're attuned to Talking Greyhounds here on RSN 927. A short break coming up, and then we'll have a chat to Anthony as a party.
Love your doggies? The Greyhound Leader, RSN 927. What's making news around the kennels?
Welcome back to Talking Greyhounds. I've got Anthony Azzopardi on the phone now. Two chases in the final, the Golden Easter Egg tonight, Anthony. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Simone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, how are the dogs?
Yeah, they're all well.
Well, you're no stranger to winning Group 1s at Wentworth Park, and you've got a two-pronged attack tonight. We'll start with Crash Bandicoot. This chaser jumped off the red last week, and look, he ran a really good race to get himself into the final.
He did, you know. He just got glued to that rail, and he had nowhere to go off the back where he sort of his race was crucial to win that race. But look, he got in a dead end, but I was happy him to run second to get in the final.
Oh, for sure. He jumped off the red. He didn't have the pace of some of the others, but once he got clear, he's a strong dog and he runs on very, very well and he's a good hard chaser. So jumping from box three in the final, are you happy being drawn near the rails?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm glad that's where, for any winning hope, he has to be drawn near the fence. And box three is probably going to play out a pretty good box for him. I'm just hoping the one and two will be off and gone. He gets on the fence, you know, and he might get that nice saloon passage underneath him. So that's the fingers crossed anyway.
that's how you're asking for that to happen. Might not actually...
Please, don't I?
Might not play out that way. But Miss Splendomiro, she's not the quickest away either.
No, it's not.
Probably Strike a Light that Crash Bandicoot may be chasing, but you just have to watch out for her in the finish.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think the two and him, yeah, they've both got the same pace. So just hoping they don't come together, that's all.
He's got a good record on the track, 12 starts for 4 wins and 5 placings. He has run a 29.65. Is he up to that if he gets a clear run, Anthony?
Oh, 100%. You know, the dog's on top of his game. And, yeah, no, I've got no doubt he runs 29.6 again. That's probably will be his best, you know. I don't think he'll go any quicker than that, though.
He won the Vic Peters last year, so he's won at Group 1 level as well. This field this year, do you think it's a harder, more even? What's your thoughts on the field in general?
Oh, look, it's a good Golden Easter Egg. You've got the two golden girls in it, they say, Strike a Light and Uphill Jewel. Well, they're win every group final for the past year. Look, they're the best pitchers in the country. You got young dogs coming through, you know, like Miss Blinda Nero. Look, it's a really, really good Easter egg. It's a very competitive Easter egg anyway.
And you've also got number 8, Dual Coroma, who may start as one of the favourites. He was impressive as well. What's the story behind him? You haven't had him that long, have you?
No, I had him just after the Pause of Thunder. I trained a lot of dogs for the pit stocks for a long time. Yeah, they gave me a ring and said, would I take him on? And obviously I was never going to say no with him. look, he had a few issues, like a few injuries and that. But look, we're on top of all that now. And yeah, no, he's a really nice dog.
The heat run was his first run for you too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was his first run, yeah. I sort of saved him for the Easter egg. And, yeah, and he's finding his way in the final.
Yeah, he came out and run 29.87, so already you knew that you had a handy chaser there going into the final, but into the semi-finals, I should say. He looks like he's very well drawn in box 8.
We can get a batter box for him.
There you go.
he's perfectly drawn. You know, I like him out wide. He can show a bit more pace than coming on the inside. Look, all if he can just stay in touch, you know, 3 or 4 lengths behind the speed dogs, he'll be the one finishing the race.
He almost looked like he stumbled when he came out of the boxes as well in the semi-final. I looked at the replay a number of times, and I don't know, did something actually happen there when not long after he got out of the boxes, or is it just...
Yeah, no, he did stumble, but that's what he does on the inside. He tends to screw it up a bit, you know?
Right.
Like in the Pause of Thunder, he did the same. He came out on his head, you know, and... Yeah, no, he's from the inside some reason. He just buggles up the start all the time. But he hasn't had too many race starts either, so more racing now he'll get you know, better and better.
That's right. He's only had 22 starts, 10 wins and 7 placings. I mean, it's a pretty good record for a dog that's had limited racing against some of these others, like your season runners like Strike a Light and Uphill Jill.
Yep, that's right. You know, he's there, you know, and yeah, we'll just see what happens.
And how's everything been during the week, Anthony? The dogs have been working well and everything's been going smoothly?
Everything's been 100%. It's been a smooth sailing all the way. So we just got to get there safe now and they can do the rest.
Best of luck in the final, Anthony. Thanks for talking to us.
No worries, mate. Thank you.
Doggy news from start to finish. RSN 927 is talking greyhounds.
Anthony has a party there. Good luck in the Easter egg tonight. All right, dogs to follow, Simone?
Well, last week's dog to follow, Nervous and Weird, a maiden semi-final winner at Bendigo Wednesday. He was a little bit slower than his heat run, but he still won in the time of 23.64 and started the $1.60 favourite. So he's definitely a greyhound to look out for in the final next week as well. My dog to follow this week is Federal Impact for Robert Britton. He debuted at Sandown on Sunday over the 5.15 around a 29.56. So quite a good time there on debut and a good beginner as well. So I'm sure we'll see more of Federal Impact.
That's a good effort first up in the 29.50s. What about a best bet?
Race 7, number 1 tonight at the Meadows. Hot Tip over the 600 metres. He has won 2 from this trip and has a PB of 34 and 42. He's dropping back from a couple of 725 metre run, handicap runs. He's not the quickest away, but he doesn't have a lot of pace on his outside. So race 7, number 1 tonight.
At the Meadows. All right, what's coming up this week, Simone?
Well, the Easter egg tonight, John. There's plenty of racing going on, but it, of course, is the feature. So we will be looking at it.
And go the Vicks. Hey, Simone, enjoy the rest of your Easter.
Thank you.
And in the meantime, keep those tails wagging. All right, short break coming up here on RSN 927. The other side will go talking trots with the Good Form team.
We'll be uploading the best of today's Talking Greyhounds to rsn.net.au.